Bong Bong. It is the Sixers Talk Podcast with you once again. So glad you could be here. Danny Pommels, Ben Berry rocking out with you. And we're coming off a split, a home split for the 76ers. Yes, Joel Embiid in the first game. No Joel Embiid in the second game. The Timberwolves, they overcame the Grizzlies. They could not. And Dwight Howard said it after the game. The Grizzlies just jumped on them from the gate. And it was a wrap from that point for all intents and purposes. Hey, Doc Rivers giving these guys a chance to, you know, kind of get off the hook, saying that, you know, we're human. We're tired, man. You know, we played like 10 road games in 12.
No, you're not buying it? No. And I know, I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off at the beginning.
No, I don't care.
Know,
go ahead.
I don't even know you did the presented sponsorship. We were sponsored by Wilmington. You don't even know if you did that. Just said they're tired. You know what? Maybe you are tired, but you know why that doesn't fly with me? Because they were blowing out the Wolves and the second unit let them back in the game. They were at a big lead in the third quarter, let them back in the game, and that could have been the extra rest the team needed. So, no, you didn't close out, Friday night against the Wolves or Saturday night against the Wolves like they could have. And it came, if they're tired, it came back to bite you in the backside. That's all your own doing.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I don't even know if that would have been enough. Like, bro, they look nasty from the start. All due respect. But, you know, that the first quarter was rough to watch because they were trailing and trying to get back in the game and, you know, getting close and falling back. And it was one point where I thought that they hit like back-to-back threes, like cut it to like 5 or 7. But that was as close as they got. I think Dylan Brooks came down and like dunked like shortly thereafter. But you know, forget about that. I just think like overall, you got to give them the benefit of the doubt. Like, you know, here they are about to go on another 4-game road trip. Like it is a tough way to go. Like, who comes home for a 2-game homestand after a 6-game road trip and goes on a road for 4 more? So they're playing 10 out of 12 road games in the stretch. Doc Rivers said they complained to the league about it when the season started.
You know, it's unfortunate and it stinks. For the game against the Grizzlies, the slack I would give them is a lot shorter because they played with their food against the Wolves when they should have just made sure the Wolves didn't come back in the game.
Good enough.
The long road trip, 2 home games and another 4-game road trip. Yeah, it's unfair. I would like to believe every team has some sort of schedule like that at some point in the season. It stinks. You know this. You knew this was the schedule. Just don't come out lifeless like they did against the Grizzlies. It sounded like there was more than 4,000 people in the arena, but how loud they booed at times.
Well, they were booing because they were booing.
Yeah,
it was especially like, in that third quarter. Yeah, especially
they were booing. It was just, and the deep bench players just came out. I know they don't play as much, so maybe they had more pep in their step. But the effort just was not there against the Grizzlies.
There was flat. Yeah. There was some fourth quarter effort with Paul Reed and Shake, and those guys came out there. But, you know, I just think, you know, you got to give them what it is. I think the bigger issue may be this Ben Simmons slump that we're experiencing right now. You know, Doc Rivers said he is not concerned one bit about Ben Simmons scoring because Ben is a facilitator. That was a great way to let him off the hook, man, because, you know, and from the outside looking in, we see some progression in his offensive game. We see him being aggressive going to the cup. We see, you know, Ben doing some consistent scoring. You know, when he had that chip on his shoulder in the Jazz game, we saw like a turn, you know, him like turn the corner, and then the subsequent games thereafter, you know, he makes it to the All-Star team. You know, we thought there was some momentum of him like turning a corner with his offensive game, but he has been in a slump these last 3 games at least. Are you concerned? Does it bother you, or are you letting Doc Rivers' words of him being a facilitator primarily be what resonates with you?
I'm not letting it resonate with me. It does bother me. It is frustrating. We've had the conversation that I just didn't feel like he's improved this offensive game since he's come into the league. And there was at times where like, okay, we're just the team, the fans, NBA fans are just asking him to be aggressive because how much better it could make him and this team. And I can't even say it's a slump because it's been more performances like this season than not. Maybe the season overall is a slump, but not just that. These last couple of games is the exception. It's for the season, it's the rule. And it bothers me, and I'm not letting it slide because come playoff time, teams aren't going to let Joel Embiid eat. They might let Tobias eat, but they won't let Joel. They're going to try to force Ben to beat them, whether that's the Celtics, whether it's the Bucks, whether they face the Nets, whoever they come up against, they're going to force Ben to beat them. So if they're clogging the paint, not letting Joel get his, and slowing down Tobias, that puts it on Ben. And I haven't seen enough to be confident and comfortable with him taking over a game consistently.
You know what? I'll take a step back, though, and say I'm looking for more from Seth Curry, though. Like, he's a starting two guard. Your job is to shoot and score. So if Ben and Tobias – I mean, excuse me, if Joel and Tobias aren't getting theirs and they're double-teaming Joel and, you know, forcing Tobias to, you know, off the three-point line or put it on the ground or not giving him opportunities that he would normally get – I'm looking for Seth Curry to make some noise, man. Like, you bring him over and give him this opportunity where he was on the bench in Dallas. He's starting here with the Sixers, getting a complete green light. And he hasn't shown the consistency you would like. And we talked about that, you know, ad nauseum about, you know, the COVID stuff and him being in and out of the lineup and not getting his legs under him, stuff like that. But I don't know if Ben – I'm not looking for Ben to be the half-court scorer, pick the team up when – you know, those other two dudes are being shut down. I think more of that should be on Seth than it should be on Ben, because Seth is the scorer. He's the guy that should be putting it in the basket.
I'm putting it on the guy that's the all-star, the guy that sees himself as one of the best players in the league, that how we look at as a top 20, top 25 player in the league. You make the big money. You want to be a face of franchise up there with Joel. You got to turn it on and keep it on. So it would be nice if Seth hit down some more shots. But, Ben, when teams are challenging you to take over the game, Ben Simmons has to take over the game.
This is his lowest assist numbers of his career, 7.2 assists a game. The points are the lowest of his career as well, 15.2. He averaged 15.8 his rookie season. You know, the numbers don't tell the story, and we'll get into that a little bit more when we talk about Tobias Harris. But when I think back on what I've seen from him and what I've looked at these past few games, and then I also kind of project how teams will play him in the playoffs, so looking at the future as well, I am a little concerned because I want him to be firm in his identity. And if he's going to be a more aggressive offensive player, I want that to develop and be something he can depend on and go to when he feels uncomfortable or, you know what, I got the ball on the perimeter. I'm going to try to get to the basket at all costs, and I'm going to either get fouled or make a layup or dunk on somebody. Like, you're 6'10". Like, those are the things that we were starting to enjoy. Like, oh, man, he's using his size and his speed. He's being aggressive and daring people to stop him. And, like, no one's trying to stand in front of a 6'10 dude coming downhill and take charges or try to block his shot if he's determined and aggressive like we have been seeing from Ben. So, I think I want the balance to be there. And that's what, you know, there are less than 25 games left in the regular season. And that's what we're trying to achieve, is get to a balance as a team, a balance on each individual player, which in turn translates to the team so that you go into the playoffs with all this momentum and this continuity and everyone, the camaraderie, and everyone's like moving in the same direction. So while I see that with other players, like I see Danny Green turning it up, obviously Joel, hopefully he can get back into the lineup consistently and continue to meld with the team. But I see Ben on the seesaw suddenly, where it's a weird time to have a slump. And it kind of wasn't not warranted, but it like didn't quite translate. Like, why are you slumping now? Why against these teams? Why are you not, you know, playing well? But maybe he's having a little issues with his knee. You know, we've seen him sit out a couple of games this season because of that. But you know, all those are excuses in a sense, because none of the team hasn't revealed any of that, right. And neither has he. So I think I am concerned about Ben a little bit. Because I want him to be like solidified in who he is and what he's about on the court. And if it is more facilitator than scorer, like, okay, now the team can adjust to that. But if it's more scorer than facilitator, they can adjust to that too. But it's got to be like a firm identity so that the other players can react around it. You know what I'm saying? So,
no, I completely
hear you. Does that make any sense to you?
I completely hear you. And maybe there is something. Injury because he doesn't look as explosive, but the team has denied
it's
it
a little off.
Like
not
he
quite
hasn't
there.
Said anything, but this has been a season and it's been frustrating as fans to watch. His turnovers are up, scoring down, assist down.
Yeah, the turnovers I hate. I hate that.
So
up.
He has to turn the corner, turn it up, and I think everyone's hoping that he'll definitely do that in the playoffs. But I haven't seen anything all season.
Oh, you know what?
Suggest he would.
The turnovers aren't up at like they're at his average. He's 3.5 a game, which is.
It's dropped then. That's good because it was over 4 at one point.
Yeah. Oh, it was mad. It was bad, but especially for the first like 20 games of the season, definitely. Yeah. You know, you get caught up in kind of all this stuff. But 3.5 a game, 1.5 steals, which he was at 2.1 a game last year. Like, ooh, but. I think the ratio is where you're most concerned because his assists are
the turnovers.
Yeah, right. So while he's averaging his lowest assist numbers, the turnovers have stayed the same. So he's 7.2 for 3.5. So that's like 2 for 1 on the assists where, you know, if you had 8 assists a game last season and that dropped almost a full assist, this season, then that's some inconsistency there, especially the dude. He got the ball in his hands all the time. He's able to facilitate and done so well about that on three-pointers for other guys. But something's got to get figured out on this road trip. Boston would be a good measuring stick.
It would. In that game against the Grizzlies, you know, Kyle Anderson and Dylan Brooks aren't exactly all-world defensive players. And
Kyle Anderson isn't small, though. So he's a big guard.
He isn't. But one is Ben Simmons, one is Kyle Anderson.
True. Yeah, okay. All right. I guess nothing else needs to be said except that comparison. So, you know, the heaviness of your words hit me as I reflected on it. But yeah, I mean, it's tough to let him off the hook. I mean, like I said, we can make excuses. But in the end, it's up to him to find that balance, man, to get that happy ground between what his identity is. And you know, we let the three-point shot go. We let the shooting go. We haven't even harped on the jumper or perimeter game or any of that. We let all that go, man. We haven't even drilled home any points about that. But he's bringing all that back with the slump, in a sense, because – what are you contributing if you're not giving the team the consistency they need or the scoring? Doc, you're right. He is a facilitator, but you can't show the growth offensively and then the regression and then not expect people to react.
I mean, you said growth. I don't know many people think there is a growth. And
there was something there. Stop.
You're turning
there.
Me into negative net again. I think I'm being level-headed and balanced. Just like, yo, Danny, you up here? Let's bring it back on down. Let's bring it back on down.
He didn't show some growth. He showed growth. The offensive game we talked about, the fact that he was aggressive and, you know, doing more. And
I mean, like, this is his worst.
The little baby hook he had started developing. It was starting, you know, he was going to the basket early. It was stuff there.
Yeah, I mean,
my voice is high, so I feel like I'm lying a little bit. I'm not. Yeah.
He's lying, people. Anyone listening, he's lying. He doesn't believe in what he's saying.
We'll see how Ben does against the Celtics. That'll be a good measuring stick because he owes Tatum and Brown something for sure.
Oh, and Marcus Smart probably playing that game. And it's nothing about his steez I'm a fan of. He flops. I'm sure he plays pickup ball in Tim's and high top black Air Force Ones. Yeah, Ben, turn it on.
Stop it. Marcus Smart is that one of those guys you would love to have on your team. If he played at Philly,
I don't love those guys. Like, people said the same thing about Matthew Dellavedova. I don't want Deli on my team either.
I am going to speak for Marcus Smart on the disrespect of comparing him to Matthew Dellavedova, but I have no cares about Marcus Smart. But
Like, Dennis Rodman is a guy you would love to have on your team. Marcus Smart isn't that.
I think it's the same for dudes like Draymond. Like, you hate him on other squads. If he was on your team and doing all that little...
I like Draymond. I think I wouldn't like him if he was on my team or if I had to work with him because how exhausting he would be. But I would want Draymond on my team if I was coaching or managing or playing or whatever. Marcus Smart, Draymond, no.
We'll leave it right here. But I'm going to tell everybody, if you have not seen Draymond block Trae Young's shot after the whistle, then you go look it up. But I think it's on one of these House of Highlights or something like that. But the whistle blows, Trae Young is dribbling, trying to get a stupid little jumper off at the end of the timeout, before the timeout happens. And Draymond purposely hangs around the basket to block his jumper. It's hilarious. Super petty stuff, like Draymond just being Draymond. That's why Christian Wood crossed him up.
Yeah, we're ending the segment. I'm going to go look at this right now.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Start college, build skills, and complete your degree with Wilmington University. 100% online options and affordable tuition make WilmU work for you. Learn more at wilmu.edu.
Hey, I think in that previous segment, we did a great job of avoiding discussing Tobias Harris because that gives us time to talk this entire segment about the impact he is bringing to the team. And I mean, listen, man, he is in the middle of a remarkable season. On pace for 50-40-90, his numbers dipped ever so slightly yesterday, but it's going to come down to the slight differences in the numbers. I mean, give him props. Of course, you know, we're trying to dissect a couple games here in the one podcast, but give him props, man, for Timberwolves, because in the fourth quarter, he was lights out. I think he was perfect from the free throw line and had 12 or 14 points for the Sixers in the fourth quarter to put the Timberwolves away, where Ben feels like he should have been playing because the starter should have been resting. But give him props there. He was 5-for-6 from the free throw line against the Grizzlies, 0-for-3 from three-point range. So currently he is a tick at 89.999. from the free throw line, a tick below 90%, and a tick above 40% on the three-point shooting at 0.401. So 52% from the floor. So he is right there. He is right there. These last 20 or so games are really going to determine if he's able to join that elite group of 50, 40, 90 people. You know, I don't need to name them all. Most recent member would be the Michael Jordan of Delaware, in my eyes, Elena Deladon, who went 50-40-90 with the Washington Mystics and won in the WNBA title. But dude has been rock solid, bro. He has been rock solid this whole season. He deserves props. I think it is, in retrospect, it is kind of criminal. He didn't make the All-Star team with being as on pace with this extremely rare, efficient season. Think about all the people that have played NBA basketball and all the people that play NBA and WNBA basketball and have never achieved a 50-40-90. And here we have, I believe, 9 members of that club now. If we include Elena Deladon, I think 8 or 9. But listen, point being is that, yeah, there are a lot of other details that went with who gets chosen to the All-Star game, who you want to take off if you put Tobias on. You know, is Tobias, you know, getting snubbed as big a deal as maybe some other guys who might have not have made it? You know, there's you know, arguments to make on both sides. But if he is the guy that we have seen through this regular season in the postseason, then I know the Sixers are making it to the NBA championship. Like, his consistency has been what the team has been lacking. And the criticism around Tobias in the past seasons has been centered around not only his play, which hasn't been elite, you know, it was good, it just wasn't elite, and he was making elite money, but also the fact that they, you know, chose him over Jimmy Butler. That also factored into how fans felt about him. So I don't know. I mean, I'm pleased with his play, and I feel like he might have another year he could turn it up to, because when I see him play against the Timberwolves and go for 36, I'm like, this dude got a 50-point game in him, man. Like, I just know it.
Danny.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
He should have mercy.
I'm listening.
Tobias is having a great season. He's been so much better than what we've seen the previous season and a half. It's nice. It makes his contract more acceptable. 50-40-90 is nice. It's great, players have hit it. But should he have been an All-Star? Like, who do you take off the list? Why is all? It's a glorified exhibition game. You want to make the All-Star? Promote yourself among the fans so they vote for you. If you're upset the coaches didn't pick, they clearly have a reason, and they thought the other guys were better. He's the second or third option on this team. I think most teams will be worried about shutting down Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons before they'd be worried about Tobias. So I understand that. And for the individuals that said, like, Tatum or Brown should have made it because they were under 500, maybe at 500 at during the All-Star break. It's a glorified exhibition. And after the fans pick, the coaches pick. Like, it's not.
It means something to the players, though. Like, so it means something to them.
Market yourself better. Or you know what? Because you and me both like boxing and MMA, don't leave it up to the judges. And then the judges at this point are fans, the other players, and coaches. Play at a level where no one can question whether you're an All-Star or not. And so, again, his 50-40-90 are on pace to have that is nice. I want him to do it in the playoffs because, grabbing first place doesn't mean anything. This team gets bounced in the second round. It doesn't mean anything if they don't make a title run, make it to the finals. He didn't show up the last two years when the Sixers made it to the playoffs. That's what it's about. I'm not trying to be negative, Nancy. I'm not trying to be the Tobias hater, as you all call me at work. 50-40-90 is nice. All-Star game, yeah, it's nice. But you want to make All-Star game? Promote yourself more. You want to make a deep playoff run? Play like this when the playoff come.
I think the 50-40-90, if he's able to achieve it, is a tangible example of the progress and the next step that he's taken, because he has come close in the past, but hasn't been able to secure it. So I think, you know, he got snubbed, which has created this whole quote unquote bounty situation where he's going to show other teams, you know, what they missed and why he should have been in there, the coaches, et cetera. He is playing at an elevated level. Like, I don't know what your problem is. Like, you need to get a grip on yourself.
I don't have a problem.
But
how do I have a problem if I want him to do this in the playoffs?
We all do. But right now, you got to celebrate what he's achieved so far. You can't take away the luster from what he's achieved.
I'm not taking away the luster. You want to celebrate this, or do you want to celebrate with a parade?
I'm not celebrating. That's what I'm acknowledging. Acknowledging.
I acknowledge it. 50-40-90 is a nice goal to have. He's played.
How about this though?
There's more.
I got another angle on this. What people are saying in some circles is that, yeah, Tobias should have made the All-Star team, and there's an easy inference to make on who shouldn't have been there, and he probably sits in a locker across from Tobias and is Ben Simmons. Tobias should have been on the team instead of Ben Simmons. I know how I feel about that. Do you have anything to say about that?
No, glorified exhibition. Like, Ben got there because of his name. If it was, put it like this, if Drew Holiday put up Ben Simmons' numbers, he wouldn't have made the All-Star team. It would be completely honest. Or a Terry Rozier. Like, that's life. That's just honest truth. Ben Simmons' numbers with his name is what got him there. Not because of his play, because he's had a down year. Like, he's had some bright spots. As we talked in the previous segment, like, this hasn't been a great year for Ben Simmons. You call it a slump. I call this whole year a slump if he picks it back up. But so, like, yeah, maybe Tobias should have made it over Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons has a bigger name than Tobias Harris, and fans recognize him, so fans are going to vote for him. Coaches plan to stop Ben Simmons before they plan to stop Tobias. So I understand.
Right. I think that's where, for me, like, the coaches were the ones who, you know, Doc Rivers called around trying to, like, trumpet his guys and to give them a little extra push when they were picking the reserves for the Eastern Conference. And when he brought up Ben Simmons' name, every coach he spoke to was like, oh, please, come on, Doc. You don't need to tell us about him. Like, what? Like, he was, you know, rubber stamped as being an all-star from what Doc Rivers gathered from these other coaches. So the thing with Tobias as well is, like, bro, like, you also have to acknowledge he is in the midst of one of the greatest, you know, outhouse, doghouse, however you want to look at it, doghouse to penthouse stories in, like, Philly sports history. Like, this dude went from being vilified, heavily criticized, you know, get him out of here, trade him with Al Horford, to almost 50-40-90 season. Like, the contrast in that is amazing. And he's only turned the tide in that argument and people's perspective and the public perception by his play. It's been how he's played on the court and how he's produced and the timeliness. And there was a lot that went into the whole Tobias thing, because people on Twitter want to, you know, get into the numbers game. Like, it wasn't about the numbers. It was the timeliness of some of his play. It was the fact that they chose Jimmy Butler. They chose Tobias over Jimmy Butler in a lot of aspects, and the fact that he got the money. So you, like, put all that together and you get the visceral reaction people had last season. But he, bro, has turned that completely around, like a complete 180. They're calling him the closer. They're calling him the closer in some aspects.
He has to close in the playoffs. I hate to say that. Like, I hate to be.
We aren't there yet. Live in the present. Live right now.
They're on their way there. And if he regresses to what we've seen in the playoffs in the past, that's not going to fly with people. Like, bro, okay.
It's going to be a lot of hell to pay. Heads will roll, as my teachers used to say back in Catholic school. Heads will roll if that happens.
If he regresses in the playoffs, we'll look at him the way a lot of football fans look at Peyton Manning. I'm not saying he's one of the greatest of all time basketball players, but Peyton Manning, a lot of people say greatest regular season quarterback all the time, playoffs, not the same thing. Paul George, great regular season player after the All-Star break, he starts to go on a slump. In the playoffs, he hasn't been what everyone thought. I don't want that to be Tobias' story and the knock against him or the narrative. But until he proves
you're projecting.
Otherwise,
you're projecting that.
I'm not projecting. That's the narrative he set up with his play. I didn't say, oh, Tobias is doing this.
Everyone has the expectation of turning up in the playoffs. Everyone has to give a little bit more. Everyone on every team. So I don't think it's individualized to Tobias. That's not.
No, but you're saying I'm making a narrative. The narrative has come from his play when he was his 2 years here before the season. It's time with the Clippers. When we first met, I told you had reservations about Tobias. And it was now, more than that one half season he was on the team. I haven't been sold. That's all it is.
But a lot of people – but also the blame has to be spread across the board, right? Like, everybody – if the team doesn't play well, it's not because one individual guy didn't play well or what have you. But
you know me long enough. I gave blame to everyone last year, whether it was Elton Brand, Brett Brown.
Well, the same should be said for this season then. If they don't play well, Tobias didn't play well.
No, but you heard my criticism about Ben in the previous segment. You know how I feel about Doc. Joel is just be healthy and, you know, stay away from the Shirley Temples and eat the Big Mac on the side before the playoff game. Look, my criticism has been well diverse. We're just talking about Tobias right now. So that's what you're hearing.
Yeah. I think that I expect him to be mimic his performance. So I don't think there'll be the drop off. I think that the way the season has gone, I think he's shown a lot of progress. He's shown a lot of more consistency. I don't know why you suddenly become inconsistent when the playoffs come. And in this instance, because the Sixers have so much riding on expectations and, you know, performance, and like Doc Rivers has something to prove coming from the 3-1. Tobias has something to prove. Ben Joe, like there's a lot of, sure. of Daryl Morey. There's a lot riding on this. So
yes,
it would be a super meltdown for them to bow out or underperform or not ratchet it up. And there may be those inconsistencies because you can't expect everything to come out peaches and cream. But they also, with the steadying hand of George Hill, who we have not seen yet, it could provide a lot more, you know, evenness to the team. Well, because he's also taking some pressure off of the three-point shooters. He's also taking pressure off of the ball handlers. He's taking pressure off of the clutch shooting. You know what I'm saying? Because he can do those things. So yeah. I think it's going to be – I just want him to get on the court soon so that the integration can happen quicker.
I hear what you're saying. My argument for Tobias, my argument for Ben and other Doc, is it being, you say negative Ned and downer, or like, I see the comments, people.
I didn't say that.
No, you said it other podcasts, not today.
Though. Okay, good.
Tobias, yes, playing very well. It doesn't mean anything if we get the same playoff Tobias that we've had in previous season.
Right.
Ben, right. I want him to improve. I want him to be a Sixer for life. But there, as I've said to you and Paul, Noah, and other people, Kevin, like, there's been nothing to say he's improved on his offensive game since he's been here, and nothing to suggest he's going to turn it up when teams force is like, okay, we're not going to let Joel beat us. We're not going to let Tobias beat us. Ben Simmons has to beat us. There's been nothing to prove that he's going to take that turn. There's been nothing to prove that Doc is going to make the necessary adjustments. He's going to be trying to be negative names. This is me just putting things in the perspective.
Yeah, but I think there will be easy way for us to tell, you know, what the differences are between the regular season and postseason, because the numbers will have ratcheted up. If the numbers are higher, then the performances weren't either, in my estimation, because you're looking for Joel to go from, you know, 24 a game, 25, 26 to 30 a game. You're looking for those virtuoso performances, those 40-point outbursts. You're looking for 7 threes from your three-point shot. You're looking for those winning type of moments and plays. I think, you know, especially for the Sixers, like, the window is small, man. The window outside of here, I think, will be a very interesting thing to discuss, because if they can't win it all this season, when does this group come together to win it all? So it's going to be interesting, bro. I'm looking for a little payback here against the Celtics, because I am from Philly and I hate the Celtics. So I'm looking for them to bomb them. So Tuesday, we will keep our eyes out for how they perform against Boston. Also worth celebrating that the Phillies are 3-0. They beat the Braves in a sweep, and I'm really excited about that. So I'm listening. After I get off of this, I'm going to listen to the Phillies Talk podcast to enjoy all that they have to offer. Do you have anything else that we didn't get to, Ben?
I have nothing else we didn't get to. Quick question before we get out of here.
What?
Is it out of all the teams you root for and teams you hate, is Celtics the number one team that you hate for your Philadelphia rival?
Of all the teams, I think Cowboys. Probably first, then Celtics. Pittsburgh Penguins mixed in there, Mets. There's a lot of good teams to hate. You can line yourself up with some hateable teams. Nothing like Chase Utley hitting the short porch and right. Trust me. Whenever he hit homers there, I really enjoyed it. So
I'm always surprised.
I surprised you?
No, I'm always surprised that, like, the Giants aren't higher up on people's lists. Like, and maybe it's just because I'm younger, and seeing Eli Manning win 2 Super Bowls is one of the most mind-boggling, confounding things ever.
No, I used to hate the Giants a lot because when they had Pepper Johnson and Lawrence Taylor and Stephen Baker, the touchdown maker, and all those dudes, Jeff Hostetler, that was my Eagles heyday with like the gangrene and Reggie White and like all that, Seth Joyner, like that. So the Eagles were almost and not quite so many times. And once again, those Bill Parcells teams won 2 Super Bowls in that stretch. So it's pretty similar. But you know, I think I respect the Giants in a sense because they have to share a stadium. So I feel like that humbles them a bit. So where the Cowboys are all glitz and glamour and billion-dollar stadiums and giant jumbotrons and the star on the helmet and stuff like that, like, you know, just flying the arrogance in your face type of thing.
Fair enough.
Hey, be sure to check out the Phillies Talk podcast, the Flyers Talk podcast, and continue to like, subscribe, comment here on the Sixers Talk podcast, Eagles Talk as well. I cannot forget them. Eagle Eye podcast, excuse me.
Good.
And, you know, please continue to bring those ratings, comments, thoughts, suggestions, and your feelings, perspectives here to us here in the comments section, as well as on our social media accounts. He is at I am Ben Berry. I am the Pommels NBCS. We've been brought to you by Wilmington University. William U. Works here on the Sixers Talk podcast. For Ben, I'm Danny. We'll see you next time.